My dearly beloved in Christ, today is the feast day of St. John Marie Vianney, who is the patron saint of parish priests and is a rather modern saint, considering that he died just over 150 years ago in 1859. I'm sure you all know something at least of his life, but I would like to speak about him this morning, especially what we can learn from his life. St. John Marie Vianney was born in 1786, 3 years before the devastating French Revolution. The French Revolution in 1789 caused terrible upheaval in France, and in particular, a persecution of the church. Many bishops, priests, nuns were guillotined, put to death, and many priests fled the country. As a result, the churches were empty, and St. John Marie Vianney's family would go to Mass in a barn whenever a traveling priest in disguise would come and have Mass for the faithful Catholics in their area. And so he made his first communion at a Mass in a barn. Now, in 1802, 13 years after the revolution started, Napoleon once again allowed the priests to return to France and to publicly practice their faith. But unfortunately, the effects of the French Revolution were so devastating that many people had fallen away from their faith. St. John Marie Vianney was a very pious boy, deeply devoted to our Blessed Mother, and he wanted to become a priest. So he entered the seminary, and you probably are aware of the fact that he struggled. He struggled to learn the things that he had to learn to become a priest. But by the grace of God, he eventually was ordained in 1815 when he was 29 years old. His first assignment was as an assistant to an elderly pastor in a church not too far from the village where he was born. And after 3 years, that priest died. Another priest was assigned, but he, John Marie Vianney, was assigned to the village of Ars. And so he is called the Curé of Ars. Curé is a French word for a pastor. Now, when he went there, he went to a little village of only 230 inhabitants. 230 people in the entire village. Had a very small church, but very few people went to Mass. There was no other religion. Everybody in the village was Catholic. They had been baptized, but because of the French Revolution, they didn't go to church. A few people were there. Nevertheless, St. John Marie Vianney was undaunted. He prayed, he fasted, he did penance for his parish and prayed, "My God, convert my people. Convert my parish." And he spent hours every Saturday preparing his Sunday sermon. And again, a handful of people were there. He really was preaching to those that weren't there. But of course, word spread among the village. His initial sermons were all, as we would say, hellfire and brimstone, very strong sermons. But gradually, people began coming to Mass. And over time, he completely reformed the people of his parish, of his village, to the point that not only were they all going to Mass every Sunday and practicing their faith, but they lived very devout lives. And as time went on, the fame of his holiness spread, and people began to come to Ars, especially to go to confession to him and to hear his sermons. But one of the things that visitors commented on was how the people of the village of Ars lived good Catholic lives. One person made the comment, "It's like entering a monastery. You know, all of the people were living such Catholic lives." But that didn't happen right away. And St. John Marie Vianney waged a relentless war against two particular vices. One was dancing. He was adamant in forbidding his people to dance, and those who would go to dances would be denied absolution in the confessional by him. That was how he considered immodest dancing to be such an occasion of sin. He said to the youth, he said, when you go into a dance hall, your guardian angel stays at the door and a devil goes in with you. So that was the one thing that he succeeded after a period of time in completely eliminating from his parish. The other vice was drunkenness. And again, he waged a relentless war and eventually succeeded in closing down every tavern in the village. But one of the things that particularly impresses me about the life of St. John Rivieni was that when he went there, people didn't observe Sunday as the Lord's Day. As I mentioned, a handful of people went to Mass, but almost everybody had no qualms about working on Sunday. And through his preaching, I got to the point that Sunday was a quiet, peaceful day in the village. Everyone would go to Mass. They would go back to the church in the evening for evening prayers. No one would be engaged in unnecessary servile work. They spent the day visiting their neighbors, their friends, resting, and honoring God in a special way on his day. And this is something that we must especially take to heart, to put in our lives the worship of God first and foremost. And in that regard, I want to just mention something that has struck me. Now, you probably noticed in our bulletin over the last three Sundays the announcement about proper dress when you attend Mass, when you go into the house of God. So this is something that has been a part of the breakdown of Catholic culture or even basic civil culture in our society. Now, everyone who lived through the introduction of the Novus Ordo, Vatican II, can tell you a different story about what, for him or her, was what really caused that person to wake up. Well, for me, and I was just 12 years old at the time, there were several things that occurred in 1967 that made me realize something was really wrong. And one of them was, I went to a vocations camp. Now, each religious order, as well as the diocese, had a priest that was the vocations director. So when I was in sixth grade, the vocations director for the Society of Divine Word came to our school, gave a little talk in our classroom, and wanted to know if any boys were interested in going to a vocations camp that summer. So I signed up. I wanted to become a priest. And there were 12, 13, 14-year-old boys, about 150 boys, that went to this camp. And you had Mass every morning, and two or three talks by the priest during the day, and then, of course, recreation, just kind of like a summer camp. But I remember one talk that one of the priests gave, because where we stayed was in a retreat center that had a chapel right there, and that's where we had Mass every morning. And this priest said in his talk how important it is to go and visit our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and he said he doesn't care how you're dressed. You want to go visit our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? Go ahead into chapel. Don't worry about how you're dressed. God doesn't care about that. And I just remember being shocked, because we never thought of going into God's house without being properly dressed. We used to go to confession on Saturdays, because there were never confessions Sunday morning. The priest had too much to do with five masses in our parish every Sunday morning. So you wanted to go to confession, you had to go on Saturday afternoon. And on a Saturday, when my father would announce, all right, I'm going to confession, anyone who wants to come to confession, we would then go change our clothes to dress clothes to go to the church, to go to confession. It wasn't even going to Mass, because we were going into God's house, and we would never think about going into God's house wearing play clothes, what I would call play clothes. And this is a thing that I've been concerned about, because in the 1960s, there not only was Vatican II and the destruction of the Mass, etc., there also was a breakdown in society of norms. There was a spirit of rebellion against authority, and you might say standard cultural practices. And that was one of them, the way people dress for various occasions. So I mention this because it concerns me. I see this sometimes on Saturdays, and I must say I am very grateful that we always have a good turnout for Mass on Saturday. Not obligated to go to Mass on Saturdays, but we have a good number of people who come. But sometimes I'll see boys, for example, and even men, wearing jeans and a t-shirt, tennis shoes, going to Mass. So we've been affected by the culture in which we live. And we have to be careful. We have to be intentional about not accepting that culture, but maintaining our reverence for the house of God. So this is something, when I think of St. John Reviani, that he brought about in ours, is putting God first. God's day, the Lord's Day, Sunday, being observed the way it should be. People going to the church in prayer. He had, in addition to Mass, prayers, morning and night prayers every day in the church. People would go to attend these. And so the worship of God, putting God first in our lives. You probably, if you know the story of St. John Reviani, are aware of the fact that he was tormented by the devil, who of course was very angry at what he was doing. After a period of time, his fame spread so much that people went to Ars, this little village in southern France, to go to confession to this priest. And it got to the point he spent in the wintertime 11 to 12 hours a day in the confession, in confessional, and in summer 16 hours. Some say even up to 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the confessional. People came even from America to visit the Curie of Ars. So he's known for that. He experienced a serious illness in 1843. He thought he was going to die. Everybody thought he was going to die. And he prayed to St. Philomena, to whom he had a special devotion. And the parishioners were praying, and he completely recovered and ended up living another 16 years. He died at the age of 73 in 1859. But let us learn the lesson from his life to put God first in our lives, and then everything else falls into place. To observe, as we should, God's day, Sunday, the Lord's Day, and to observe the importance of prayer every day, giving honor to Almighty God, fulfilling our obligation to worship God as he deserves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.